welcome to Fearfully and Wonderfully Me, a podcast designed to help you become the leader you are destined to be. I'm super excited today to introduce you to a special guest, my friend Allison Little. Allison is a two-time best-selling author. Her books are Life Under Construction, Designing a Life You Love, and The Art of Imperfect Action. All success comes from daring to begin. Allison is a top motivational speaker. She's a leadership trainer. She's a podcast host. She is a mother of two, which is probably, if I had to guess, one of the most challenging roles that any of us could have, I'm sure. And Allison is passionate about helping high achievers to launch to the next level in their lives, personally and professionally. And, you know, I've known Allison for a while now, and I've read both of her books, but I wanted to get her, in fact, she's been a guest on the podcast before, but I wanted to get her back because she has a new book coming out, and I've read it. I've been privileged to get a sneak peek, and so I was just so excited about this. I'm like, Allison, please, please come back and be a guest on my podcast again. So, Allison, welcome.
Yay. Thank you, Rhea. I'm so excited to be back. This is such an honor, and to talk to your listeners and to just talk to you. It's just such an honor. I'm super excited.
Oh, I'm glad to have you. I know your time is precious because you are super, super busy. So glad to have you. And we're grateful for you pouring into us today. So first things first, talk about your new book, because I did get a chance to get a sneak peek. And I'm super excited about it. And I love the concept because I am all about thinking and how our thoughts can help us. And that's kind of some of what your book touches on it. So if you'll just tell us about your book and what's going on with that.
Absolutely. I would love to. So my new book is called Keep Going, The Steps to Create a Champion Mindset. And it's really about the lessons I learned from my mentor, Cliff Macklin. So I met Cliff a few years back, and he was one of the greatest mentors and coaches in my life. And he was actually a U.S. World Bodybuilding Champion into his 70s. And so he had these principles and these ideas that he would teach me about shaping our beliefs. And I remember I would give him a call and I'd be having like a frustrating day, and he would help me reshape my beliefs about what was happening and help me create the champion mindset. And last year in about February, I had my last call with Cliff. He actually passed away that day. And I was really super sad for the last year. And I was like, I can't talk about it and I can't think about it. And it just like my heart was sad. And the thing that kept coming back to me is this idea of keep going, right? Like every day I would go to this mantra of keep going, Allison, just keep going, keep going. And I would hear Cliff's voice in the back of my head. And I thought, you know, I really have to pay it forward, because I had this gift of this person who believed in me more than I believed in myself. Rhea, you're one of those people too that has believed in me more than I believed in myself, and helped me believe in myself, and so that I could go out there and I could serve the world in a bigger way. Like, I know that I could not have written the books and spoken on the stages and done the things that I've done in my businesses without the support of amazing, wonderful mentors. And I was like, you know, I have to write this book because I have to help people understand their beliefs and how they shape their world. And I'm super excited to be able to share what I learned and share the stories and kind of share how people can apply those same principles to create a champion mindset for themselves.
I love that. In fact, you kind of talk about in the book, you talk about him and your mentorship from him and how it's helped you. But what I loved was that you shared a quote that he used to say, consistent champions think and act very differently than non-champions. It is a mindset, a hardwired way of thinking and doing. And I love that because I'm a big believer in our thoughts either serve us well in our thinking, or they, you know, our thoughts don't serve us well. But what I find, and you may have found this too, is that, you know, a lot of people, when I talk to them, we don't necessarily think about our thoughts, if that makes sense. We don't necessarily stop and intentionally think about what are the thoughts that I'm thinking. Like, we just kind of go through our day and we're doing, but we're not always stopping to think about what are my thoughts going through my head right now. Is my mindset going to help me be successful? So I love that you started off with that quote and just talking about you know, are we thinking on purpose? That's really what it comes down to. Have you found that? Is that true for you?
Absolutely. And that's the thing that I think, you know, I had never had anybody really tell me that before, Rhea. I'd never, you know, I didn't grow up where people in my family were telling me, you know what? You get to choose your thoughts. You get to choose your beliefs. I didn't have that awareness as a child. And so I grew up into becoming an adult, and I was, you know, leading people and leading businesses and doing everything I thought I needed to do. But without that awareness, it was really difficult for me to understand that I could help more people if I could understand where I was thinking and what I was thinking about and being really intentional about those thoughts, because they were either going to serve me or not. And they were either going to serve my clients or not through, you know, how I was able to bring myself to each situation. I mean, think about just, you know, you speak on stages and so you understand this, but think about right before you speak on a stage, are you telling yourself how terrible you're going to do? Are you telling yourself that it's not going to work, or that you're going to fall, or that you're going to trip, or bad things are going to happen? Probably not, right? You can think thoughts that are going to set you up for success. And so each and every time right before I go on stage, I say a little prayer, and I have specific thoughts that I think to help me understand that I'm the champion that needs to go out there and speak a message to help somebody in that audience. And with that type of mindset, I'm able to go out there and share that message with conviction and with passion and with purpose. And I think each and every one of us has that choice each and every day, right? To show up in our best version of ourselves. We have that opportunity, and that's what I love.
That is so powerful. And what you said there is absolutely true. I too, you know, I didn't grow up being taught that we could choose our thoughts, but how cool is it that you're passing on this knowledge and this wisdom to your kids? I mean, your kids will grow up knowing that, hey, they can choose our thoughts. So I know that life is going to be different for that generation of people who are like, yes, you can choose your thoughts and be intentional. So that's exciting, just because I know these principles are so powerful. Go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt, but I have to tell you a quick story, because it just happened like 2 days ago. So we've been spending a lot of family time together right now. And yes. I had, my daughter was saying something negative. Something negative came out. She didn't mean to, but she said something kind of negative about herself. And my son stopped her and said, you know, if you say things like that to yourself, then that's going to happen. So you need to think good thoughts about yourself, and you need to say them.
Oh.
And it was just like one of those moments when I was like, oh my gosh, like all of this stuff I talk about, I don't think that they're listening. And I, you know how, I mean, it's just like you're saying this stuff, you're writing this stuff, you're putting this stuff out there, but you don't know who's really listening. And when my kids did that, when my son was coaching my daughter to say, hey, you need to really think about, check your beliefs, check your thoughts, because they're coming out and they're not in alignment with who you want to be. You want to bring your best self to the world. That's what, as adults, we need to do too. We need to check ourselves and say, hey, are you showing up as your best self or not? And if not, like, you have this choice.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That is so awesome. I mean, just, yeah, he's listening and he's absorbing. How old is your son?
My son he just turned 8. So yeah, I think, you know, it's starting, and he was coaching my daughter who is 4, almost 5. And so I want them to understand that as they're growing up, that they have this choice, right? They have this choice to believe in themselves and to think different thoughts and to set themselves up for success, because that's going to empower them later in life. And I think that, you know, if we can do that as parents especially, it really helps. It helps us as parents. It helps the kids that believe in themselves. It helps. It just helps all around the world be a little bit better place.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So you have a term in the book, and I loved the term. Like, I was like, man, I wish I'd thought of that. But you talk a little bit of a story about Kennedy and setting the vision for going to the moon, and you use the term moonshot thinking. Tell us about that, because I just love that.
Right? Yeah, it's such a great term. Moonshot thinking is really this idea. So President John F. Kennedy in 1961, he said, we choose to go to the moon in this decade and do other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard, because that goal will serve us to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because this challenge, we're able to accept, and just, he put this idea into the world that they were going to do something bigger and bolder and more audacious than ever before. This was something that essentially nobody had ever done before, right? And so I think about that time and how amazing that thought was. Like, we're going to go to the moon. We're going to think bigger than we ever thought before. And the great thing about this moonshot thinking is that it was about thinking bigger and changing beliefs. And it illustrates the fact that they didn't know how to do it. Nobody knew how, right? And we come to places in our lives where we don't know how to do something, but we just set out to start taking imperfect action toward that thing, toward whatever it is. And so I just love moonshot thinking because it's about thinking bigger. It's about thinking, you know, using our imaginations to be creative. It's about thinking that we can, right? Even before we know how, we can still work towards something bigger in our lives. And I think when I think about moonshot thinking, I think, you know, right now, especially in our world, we need more moonshot thinkers, people that are willing to step outside the ordinary to become extraordinary and really think in a different way and believe that they can, because that's exactly what John F. Kennedy did. He put out this vision of what the world could look like and what we could do. And without knowing how, and all these people stepped up and made it happen. And I think that's exactly what we need right now in our world. We need leaders that are willing to cast a vision, and we need people that are willing to step up and use their creative energy and their imagination to make it happen. And I know, I mean, that's what's the greatest thing about our human race, is that we're able to figure out hard things. We're able to innovate. We're able to be those people that can solve those difficult challenges.
Yeah, and you know, kind of to your point there, is we're able to overcome enormous challenges, and we don't always know how, but I think, and kind of to your point in the book, is that first we've got to believe that we can, right? And that's, you know, we've got to have that vision. We've got to have the belief that we can take action and get closer. I did a podcast a few weeks ago about a race, a marathon that I had run recently, and I did not make my time goal for that particular race. And I caught myself at, like, you know, a little over halfway through the race, I realized that I wasn't going to be able to meet my goal as my time goal. I knew I was going to finish, but I wasn't going to finish as fast as I had wanted and the goal I'd set for myself. And I kind of caught myself going through the motion in my head of, well, maybe I should just quit now. Like, if I'm not going to make that goal as quickly as I thought I could, or as quickly as I wanted to, should I even continue, you know? And I had to catch myself, because I think a lot of times we get, you know, we set our sights on something, we have a dream or a vision, and we start working toward it, and it's hard, or it doesn't happen as quickly as we think it's going to happen, and we get frustrated. And I think a lot of times we quit. And that's, you know, that's one of our struggles, is not just to have the vision to begin with, but knowing that it's going to be hard work, and knowing we're going to have to do stuff to get to, and knowing we don't know how. But when we're absolutely committed, we can do that. And you know, it's one of your, I think it was your second book. It might've been your first. I can't remember. The Art of Imperfect Action. And you talk in your new book, Keep Going, about, I have to share the story because it was just so funny. You shared a story about your husband Tony's imperfect action. And what's cool about this story is I'm Facebook buddies with you and Tony, and I remember seeing a post that he put, you know, it's been, gosh, a year or two, maybe more, I don't know. But I didn't know the story behind the post. And then in this book, you shared the story behind the post. So will you share that with us? Because it was just
yes,
so cool.
Absolutely.
I mean, it just made like, me crack up.
It is. It's a good story about imperfect action. So I was actually leaving for a conference in Florida. And you know how that is. You're packing everything up. You're getting ready. And I realized, like, this was one of the longest trips that I had planned. I was going to be away from my family. At the time, I think my daughter was 3 and my son was 6 and we had a new puppy and my husband was going to be at home with the family for like a week or so. And so I leave and I'm running out the door and I turn back at my husband and I say, "Hey, sweetie, you got this?" And he's like, "I got this. Everything's going to be fine." Like, he was overly confident. And I'm like, "Okay, like, you know, okay, whatever." And I'm a little bit nervous. I'm like, I don't know if he really understands, right? Like, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, I don't really think that he's got this, but like, I'm going to just put my faith in him. It's going to be fine. We're going to be good. So I went to my conference and every day I would call home and I would check in on our family and I'd be like, "Hey," and I'd talk to the kids and I'd ask how the puppy was doing. I asked how Tony was doing with work and with everything, you know, it's a lot, right? When you have two kiddos and a puppy and just everything. So everything was fine, right? The kids actually sound super happy. Tony sounded really great. Everything was just going so smoothly. I mean, to the point where day 4, I go, "So how's everything going?" And he's like, "It's fantastic." I mean, and I'm like, "Okay, what am I doing wrong? Maybe I'm the person that's making all this crazy happen, because there is something happening here, because we're on day 4. Nothing bad has happened. Nobody has done anything, you know. I mean, normally my house is an absolute crazy house. Anybody that has little kids, you get it. It's normally like chaotic and a little crazy, no matter, even with my best efforts, it's a little crazy every day. So here I am day 4 and he's still like, "Oh no, it's fine." So day six, I'm about ready to go home. And I pull up Facebook right before I'm going to go. And I see my update from Tony, and he's like, "Update on Allison being gone day 6. The good, nobody is missing. The bad, 2 out of the 4 things sleeping with me last night peed the bed. Logan thought it was," I know, right? "Logan thought it would be a good idea to cut his own hair. Juniper, the puppy, was able to poop 3 times in the house in less than 3 hours. That's impressive." I'm not even mad about that. "Avery had such a big knot in her hair, I had to promise to buy her a toy in order to let me comb it out. We've eaten pizza or Subway 6 nights in a row. Bedtime is normally at 8 p.m. I start the process then, but sadly, I fall asleep. So I have no idea what time these people are going to bed. I got this was a bit of an overstatement. Allison will be home in 24 hours. We can do it." Like, seriously, that was Tony's imperfect action. And I went into full mom mode at that moment. And I text my mom and I'm like, "Hey, you need to go check on him because things are going down at our house right now." And so my parents went over there and my little sister, I mean, we called in all the troops. We got it taken care of. But Logan had terrible bangs for a couple weeks. And that's how that went. I mean, it was definitely imperfect action. It was funny, but you know, that's life sometimes.
Yes, indeed. And you know what's cool about that is you know, that confidence and saying, "Oh yeah, I can do that." And then you're thinking, "Well, what does he know? Like, does he have superhero powers? Because normally life is crazy for me." And then you find out on Facebook, no less, that yeah, it's just crazy too, and that's okay. It's just life.
It is. Yeah, it is. That was a good one. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So, talking about, you know, a lot of times that we do, just, you know, we've got to have confidence in ourselves and belief that we can, you know, work towards something. And you talked about in the book, in fact, it might have been my favorite part of the book, because it was just so real. You know, you're just like your post about your husband Tony, and it was just so real. And I love that, because I know, you know, kind of in this picture perfect, Instagram perfect world, a lot of times we need to know that the people who are inspiring us and getting on stage and speaking or writing books, that they're real people too. And it's easy to kind of see someone on stage and think about, "Oh, well, you know, life is perfect," and it's easy to say perfect things and big visions if life is perfect. So it's easy to lose the fact that that person is a real person, you know, just like you and me. And when you share stories in the book like you did, it just makes it so real. It reminds us that, hey, we're all facing some struggles at some level. And you talked about where beliefs start. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. So, you know, as I was thinking about beliefs and really where they start, I shared a story about when I was 12, and I was in seventh grade, and I was at track practice with my coach, and I was running, and I wasn't very good at track. I hated running, and but I went, you know, I'd show up every day, and I would try my best, and I had this coach that was just phenomenal. I mean, he actually was a librarian too, and so at like during the Olympics, he would have us watch the Olympics, and he would talk about champions, and he would talk about just like how they would train and athletes, and he was just this amazing, phenomenal person. And one day during track practice, I showed up, and you know, he pulled me aside, and I remember him looking at me, and he said, "Allison, you are a leader. Your teammates are watching you. Make sure you're leading them well." Well, like I'd never heard somebody use the word leader and me in the same sentence. Like, "Allison, you're a leader." Like, I didn't know necessarily what that meant, but I liked it. And what the track coach didn't know is I was being raised by a single mom. You know, we had enough, but not much more than enough. I had a dad that wasn't really in the picture. He wasn't really supportive of me. He was kind of irresponsible, didn't really do the things that I thought a father should do. And I really didn't see myself in the greatest light at that time. But that day, that track coach pulled me aside, I thought, "Oh my gosh, I'm a leader." And it kind of felt like a badge of honor, right? It felt like, "Oh my gosh, like I'm a leader. Oh my gosh." I, you know, for the longest time, I felt like I wasn't enough, right? Like I thought, you know, "Oh, well, my parents are married and I'm not enough. And my dad is in and out of work and we don't have very much money." And so I kind of took all of that and I put it on myself as, you know, feeling like I was not enough and I didn't believe in myself. And I didn't know really, you know, I didn't really think of myself as being anything more than just me. Like I was like, And when he said that, when he said, "Allison, you're a leader," I started to step into being a leader, not knowing what it was, but I said, "You know what? I'm going to get curious about this because I want to make him proud. I want to, you know, make my coach proud. And if he sees that in me, maybe I am. Maybe I could believe that. Maybe I could believe that thought." And so I started to just go to the library, and I would get every single book on leaders that I could find. Like I would just like get bags. I would bring a bag to the library because I was a nerd like that, and I would fill it up with books, and I would just read all weekend long. That's what I did. And so I would study about what leaders look like, and I would learn, and I would try to apply what I learned from these leaders into my own life. And eventually what happened is it helped me understand kind of where, you know, where beliefs start. They start in our childhood. They start with experiences that we have that we may or may not have control over. They start, and we need to understand that they're kind of in the back of our mind at all times. And until we have the awareness that we have beliefs that are kind of shaping what our life looks like, just like I did, right? As soon as the coach said, "Hey, Allison, you're a leader," what I recognized is I had all these beliefs from my past that weren't necessarily true, that were kind of holding me back from what I could achieve, that essentially could have made my life completely different if I wouldn't have had that track coach step in and say, "Hey, Allison, you're a leader," right? I could have believed all those lies and all those stories that I had been telling myself for so long, not because I wanted to, but because I had these circumstances that came into my life that really shaped who I was at that time. And as soon as the track coach stepped in and said, "Hey, Allison, you're a leader," and I started to put my time and energy into changing my beliefs, that's where the shift happened in my life. And I feel like that's constantly, you know, a thing that all of us need to be doing, is really evaluating what is my belief right now? Where am I? Is that true? Or is that something that, you know, I've held on to from my childhood and it's not really serving me anymore, and I can get rid of that belief? You know, I think as we're growing and learning, we constantly need to evaluate what we're thinking and what our thoughts are, where our beliefs are, because if they're not serving you anymore, there's a chance that you might need to figure that belief out and figure out a way that you can reshape that belief and think through that belief. And it might take a coach, it might take a therapist, it might take having a conversation with somebody in order for you to understand it at a deeper level. But it's so key to moving forward. And until we're able to really identify those beliefs and how they're holding us back, we can't move forward.
That's powerful. What you're talking about, really, it's life-changing when we understand it. But even when we understand it, like, we do have to be intentional about staying vigilant, I think, guarding against those beliefs and growing through them. Talk about, because you mentioned something a minute ago about, reading about all of the books that you could get your hands on about leaders. And you touched on it in the book, at least, that you recognized that all of them have been through adversity. So talk about, or just share with us, how does adversity help us believe in ourselves?
I think one of the things that I would get all these books, Martin Luther King Jr., Joseph Arc, Helen Keller, like all of these people, Anne Frank, I would read the books, and presidents, Abraham Lincoln. And the thing that I kept finding is, like, yeah, they had had adversities. And I thought, okay, so what my belief was before I started to understand all of this is that I thought that life was perfect for people that were successful. I thought that people that were leaders, that life just kind of worked out for them. I thought, specifically that they had everything that they needed. Perhaps they had, really great parents at home. They had everything that they needed, which just set them up for success. And they just had all these great things happen. What I found, the reality was that many of these people were very resilient. They had more challenges and more obstacles and more adversities than you could have ever imagined. And through that, what I find is that their beliefs in themselves and what they were supposed to do and their purpose got stronger in that hard stuff. And I think, as leaders, as people, a lot of times we're given really difficult assignments, and they might be, challenges or obstacles that we have to face. And through that, we think through it, we create beliefs, and we create what we want the outcome to be. But without the hard stuff, how are we able to get stronger in our mindset and where we want to go? And so I think, what I found through studying leaders and I continue to learn is that the adversities are the things that make us stronger. And the adversities are the things that help our mindset to become who we need to become to serve the world in a bigger way. I was having this conversation actually this morning with my husband. I said, there's constantly challenges that are surrounding us. There's constantly obstacles that we're facing. And I believe truly that those obstacles and challenges are put there on purpose to help us become the people that can solve them. Because through that, solving that adversity or that problem, we become the people that can help others, right? You can't help others if you haven't ever had that experience. You can't teach lessons from something that you've never had happen to you. And that empathy and that sympathy helps you become a stronger person and a stronger leader. And I truly believe that that's kind of what shaped me as the leader that I am. Is, I'm not super old right now. And a lot of times I'm leading people that are twice my age, but I've experienced a lot of life. And I've experienced through the adversities and challenges a lot of life, and through that I'm able to serve people and understand them and empathize with them.
That's interesting that you bring that up, because I don't know exactly how old you are, but I know one of the things that I've certainly faced too is that, yeah, when you're talking about leadership and personal growth, it's almost a barrier to be young, because people look at you and they just see your maybe a lack of years. And so sometimes they don't realize that you have had powerful experiences, and that's what helps you grow. It's not just getting physically older that helps you grow personally. A lot of people just get older and they don't, intentionally develop themselves. And, what you said was powerful. It's like, I've been through a lot of experiences, and those experiences shape us, just like what Helen Keller went through shaped her, you know. So what Abraham Lincoln or Joan of Arc, what any of those people go through is that they face adversity and they overcome it. And we are the same way. We all go through adversity at times. I mean, life is hard. Like, life is full of challenges and struggles. But it's recognizing that some of the value is that when we learn to overcome those struggles is that we can then share that with others. And that's what makes it powerful. So I love that. And I you know, you and I are just talking the same language in a lot of ways, but it's, these principles are so true. And I think you've lived them and you've applied them, and you're like me, you know, you get excited about it, not because you read about some of these principles in a book, but because you've done it and you've gotten results from that in your life. And now your kids are talking about them and teaching them to each other. And that's just so incredible, because it's just powerful when we use them. Allison, yeah. Talk about, you talked about in the book, and I don't want to give all the secrets away because people will want to go get the book. And when does your book come out, actually?
I know it's a great question, Rhea. I keep thinking that the book's going to come out. I'm hoping within the next month. I'm hoping by maybe May 1st we'll have the book out. That's my birthday, okay. So we might as well have it go out then. But I'm not quite sure. It's taking a little bit longer than I thought. But that's okay. Yeah. You know, all of this process takes a little bit longer than we think it does. And that's okay. I'm still going to do it. I believe it's going to happen. So we're good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, so coming out in the next few weeks, and you know, certainly, or this summer, this spring even. So I know that's coming, and I'm kind of cool. It's kind of cool that I got the inside sneak peek. But in the book, you talked about how to change your thinking, and you used an example that was kind of cool because I've never thought about it in quite like this. Talk about the movie theater.
Oh, yeah. So I love the movie theater. So when I think about, you know, I'm a visual person. And so whenever I'm thinking about teaching something or I'm thinking about understanding something, I like to create a visual of what this could look like. And so one of the things that I thought about is what I want our listeners, what the listeners to do is think about a scary story, like a scary maybe thing that happened in your life. And I want you to pretend that you're in a movie theater all by yourself, and you're sitting there and you're watching yourself up on the screen, and it's that scary movie, and it's playing over and over again, and it's really loud and it's kind of frightening, and you're in the dark and you're just watching that movie play over and over again. And emotionally, I mean, as you're sitting there watching that movie, it's so scary, and you're feeling emotionally maybe scared and frightened and fearful and all of those different things. Just, you just keep cycling through these different emotions because you're watching this movie up on the movie screen. And, you know, when we think about belief, we can, a lot of us, and I, myself included, I can stay stuck on watching that scary movie over and over and over again. And what that does is it shapes my beliefs about what life looks like for me. So I'm watching this movie, and internally what I'm doing is I'm watching this movie over and over again, and I'm feeling these feelings and emotions, and what it's doing is it's causing the external things that happen in my life. But all I need to do is change the channel, right? All I need to do is change the movie. So now pretend, rather than that scary movie where it's bringing up all these emotions that are fearful and these beliefs about ourselves that maybe aren't empowered, you feel worthless, you feel limited, you feel afraid, you change the movie. And this movie is like your best day ever, right? You wake up, the sun is shining, it's that perfect temperature out, you feel strong, empowered, you put that brand new outfit on, you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, yes, I got this. You go and you go to that place to do that thing that you were meant to do, right? To help those people that you were meant to help. And in that place, that movie that you're watching, it is the best, most empowering movie you could ever watch of yourself. You're sitting in the same seat in the movie theater, and rather than watching the scary, fearful movie, you are watching the empowered, most inspiring, amazing movie of yourself. in your best version of yourself. And in that place, what are your beliefs? What are your feelings and emotions? What does that look like? Because if we can be in that place, if we can play that movie in our mind, right? If we can play that movie of us in our best place, empowered, inspired, motivated, the people that we need to help, we can help in a really big way. If we play the scary movie, my guess is that you're not going to be able to show up as your best self, because I know that I can't. If I'm playing the scary movie, I cannot show up as my best self to serve my kids, my husband, or the people that need me the best way. So I need to turn on that movie that empowers me and inspires me and makes me step into my greatness. Because as I play that movie and I'm watching myself going out there to serve the world in a bigger way, that's when I'm able to understand exactly how those beliefs, and my beliefs shift, right? When I'm watching that happy, amazing, wonderful movie of life, of what it could look like, of what I'm doing to step out into the world, my beliefs shift in my mind. I believe that I'm a different person. I believe that I can go out there and make awesome, amazing, wonderful things happen, right? My beliefs shift, and it shapes my world. And so all of us have this opportunity to understand, okay, what movie am I playing right now? Am I playing that scary movie? Turn it off, right? I think about this physically, I don't like to watch the news. I don't like to really watch TV. We watch like family shows, but I physically can't. I can't. And even my husband, he's like, you can't. You just emotionally, you can't do it because you get too tied into that scary movie. It does. It has an effect on me. He's like, I want you to be in your good place, because if you're happy and you're empowered and you're positive, you go out there and you serve the world in a different way. But each of us has this choice. And it's as easy as shifting the channel and saying, you know what, I'm going to watch this movie and I'm going to be inspired and I'm going to be empowered. And when we're in that place, the greatest thing happens, because we can step into who we were meant to be. The world needs us to watch that movie. We need to watch that movie to empower and inspire ourselves. And the greatest thing about beliefs, and the reason that I'm really passionate about Keep Going in this book, this idea, is that if we can understand our beliefs better, if we can switch the channel, essentially, of what we're thinking about, and we can step into our greatness inside of ourselves first, right? If we can work on ourselves first, it has a ripple effect all over the world. I mean, it's going to first start at home, right? You're going to have a better relationship, a deeper, more meaningful relationship with the people that you love most. And that's going to trickle out into your businesses or your career or your profession. And that's going to trickle out into the other people that you serve. And it's going to trickle into the coffee shop barista that you talk to. And it's going to trickle into every single area of your life. And that's what I want to do. I want this to be a ripple effect into the world, where we can spread positivity and light and joy.
That is so good. I like that. I mean, just, you know, what I think what I really love, I mean, you're saying some really great, powerful stuff, but, you know, you kind of get excited talking about it. And I get excited just hearing you, because, you know, as you're sharing this stuff, it just reminds me again how, you know, we do change the world. When we change ourselves, it doesn't have to be, you know, we don't have to be Mother Teresa to make a difference in the lives of ourselves and other people. But when we change ourselves, we do change the world. You know, we change our home, we change our community, we change our workplace. And I think a lot of times we get tied up in, I'm not making a big difference. But it is a big difference, because if it's just even one person that we, you know, just create that ripple effect, it matters. And it matters for every one of us. And Allison, this is so awesome. You and I could talk all day about this, but we don't have time, unfortunately. So share with us where our listeners can get in touch with you. What's the best way to reach out to you if they are interested or they want more details on the book and all of that good stuff?
Awesome. Thank you so much, Rhea. First, can I just thank you for being you. And, you know, for all the listeners, Rhea's story is one of the encouragers in my life. She's a mentor. She's a coach. She's an amazing, wonderful person. And I think, you know, the thing that I get most from you, Rhea, is just your positive attitude and your belief in people, right? Like, you were one of the first people that believed in me to speak on stages. You helped me craft my messages. You helped me think into my books. I always can... like I can rely on you, and you being that person that is a positive force in my life. So I appreciate you for that, because we all need people like you. And always, as we're thinking about shaping our beliefs, make sure you find somebody, even if it's one person, that can help you believe in yourself and you can believe in them, because it's so critically important. We need to lift each other up, and you're definitely a lifter, Rhea, and I just wanted to make sure I said that. Okay.
Well, okay. Thank you. You're too kind. Absolutely. You're too kind.
Yeah. I love it. Love it. Love it. Oh, and if anybody wants to reach out to me, my website is AllisonLittle.com. I think Rhea's going to put it in the comments or something. Feel free to reach out to me that way. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on the Facebook. And I just really appreciate each and every one of you and how you're making a difference in the world. Look for my book, Keep Going. It'll be out sometime soon.
And what's the subtitle again?
The subtitle is How to Create a Champion Mindset.
Okay. Yeah. So keep going. How to create. You know, and there again, mindset is so powerful. So I'm just excited about this and excited about your message. And you've got a TEDx talk coming up. Is that right?
I do. I'm so excited. Yeah.
That absolutely. Is amazing. Is it going to... Can I ask, or is it going to be on the theme of Keep Going, or?
It's actually, you know, it's not going to be on Keep Going, but it is going to be on Imperfect Action. So
okay.
I'm kind of crafting that right now, and it'll be, the TEDx is going to be in August. So I'm, I've done this, this speech and talked about the Art of Imperfect Action book a lot of times. So it's just a matter of fitting it into I think it's 18 minutes that I need to fit it into. So I have to fit like a full day training into 18 minutes. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, no pressure. No pressure, but Allison, I know you can do it. Thank you so much for your time and sharing and just, you know, I just love what you have to say, and it's just always a joy. You know, I always get fired up talking to people like you who are excited and excited about what they're doing and helping other people, because it's just so incredibly rewarding when we can make a difference and help other people make a difference. So thank you, Allison. I can't wait for your book to come out. I can't wait to see your TEDx talk. So I'm hoping that it's going to be live streamed that I can dial in or watch in wherever I am. And in this season, especially with all this coronavirus and pandemic and stuff like that, I think it's even more important that people like you who bring light to other people are shining that light. And that's what I love about you and your message. So thanks so much, Allison.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And for my listeners, I'll talk to you next time. Take care.
Start increasing your influence and maximizing your potential with Rhea's audiobooks. Available at audible.com, amazon.com, and iBooks. Please visit RhiaStory.com to learn about Rhea's books, resources, speaking, and training programs. Thanks for listening.